est sur location.
Jak on lo zapti on?
Eko location. Location.
Welcome to Echolocation, a show that eavesdrops on Mother Nature and features sound art and music inspired by the natural world. I'm your hostess, Elizabeth Lowe Judas, and the interspecies chorus in our opening tune includes echolocators like killer whales, oil birds, and little brown bats. And they're accompanied by gray whales and humans on vocals, a slowed down cricket on drums, and a midshipman fish on bass. On today's show, we're going to try to listen to some sounds that we may not have ever thought to try to hear before. We'll shrink down to the microscopic to listen in on COVID-19, and then expand out to the vast silence of space to search for comets. We just listened to a song entitled Stella Seale Extirpavit, performed by the Hilliard Ensemble. The song dates back to the time of the Black Death in Europe, way back in the 1300s. It was composed as a prayer against the plague. Many people find solace in art and literature during trying times like these. And this 14th century song is a beautiful call for mercy. Great literary figures also emerged during the Black Death, including Giovanni Boccaccio, who wrote a book called The Decameron. The storyline is that 10 acquaintances form a pod isolated from the rest of society to avoid the plague, and the book recounts the stories they tell to enliven each other during their time of isolation. Last summer, the Library of Congress took inspiration from Boccaccio's creativity and invited 10 pairs of composers and performers to write and perform brief solo works in response to COVID-19. The Boccaccio Project premiered the 10 pieces online, of course, last June. I'll post a link to the performances at the echolocation/WGXC page on Facebook. All of the performances are worth watching, but my favorite is Have and Hold, which was composed by Allison Loggins Hull and performed by Natalie Yoakum of the group Flutronics. I'll link to their performance on the Echolocation page too. So terrible events like pandemics can inspire a musical response. Back in May, world-renowned cellist Yo-Yo Ma performed J.S. Bach's 6 solo cello suites live from the Boston studios of the public broadcasting company WGBH in tribute to the many lives lost over the course of the coronavirus pandemic. We're listening to some of those cello suites now. I don't want to minimize the anguish that COVID has caused us, but seeing that a virus is part of nature, after all, I started wondering, does COVID make a sound? Of course, I don't expect that viruses would make a sound that is within human hearing range, but nevertheless, I wondered if the vibration of viruses can create something we could conceive of as sound. So, I asked the internet, and at first I came across more information about bacteria than viruses. I found a scholarly article from 1998 entitled Production of Sound Waves by Bacterial Cells and the Response of Bacterial Cells to Sound. In this paper, Michio Matsuashi and collaborators describe a study that showed that bacteria cells produce sine waves when under stress, and that these waves may function as growth regulatory signal between cells. I also found that scientists have used sound to stimulate growth of bacteria in the lab. In the article Effect of Sonic Stimulation on Bacillus Endospore Germination, published in 2016, authors Wu, Liu, and Jung describe a study in which germinating endospores of the Bacillus bacteria were exposed to audible sound waves, which increased germination rates. So that was interesting, but viruses are not bacteria, even if they're both microscopic and we think of them as germs. Bacteria are living, single-celled organisms that reproduce asexually. Viruses have no cell structure and require the aid of a host to reproduce, and they're generally accepted to be non-living. But nevertheless, viruses, or parts of them at least, like the proteins that compose their coat, do indeed vibrate at distinct frequencies. And, amazingly, someone is composing music from those frequencies. So the guy's name is Marcus J. Bueller, and he's the McAfee Professor of Engineering at Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and a composer of experimental, classical, and electronic music. Dr. Bueller and an interdisciplinary team of scientists, artists, and engineers have developed a complex methodology to audibly map the structure of proteins by using the artificial intelligence technology of sonification to translate the vibrational frequencies of the molecules that make up proteins into a new musical scale. Dr. Bueller explains that each molecule in a protein, and I'm quoting here, vibrates due to temperature at a unique spectrum and as a well-defined sound. With the help of artificial intelligence, Dr. Bueller's team created an amino acid scale, a musical scale, that never existed before, which expresses patterns and defines sequences in sound. This amino acid scale becomes the melodic building blocks of a song, and other components of the music reflect different aspects of the protein. And quoting Dr. Bueller again, rhythms are used to express local structures, and higher order elements like the folding of proteins are expressed in more complex hierarchical features of the musical composition, such as overlapping melodies, strummed chords, and others. The music can be seen as a translation of the protein structures' various vibrational patterns into an audio signal you can hear and exploit for further analysis. Bueller and his team developed this methodology to study protein structure and increase understanding of amino acid sequence patterns, with the ultimate goal being the creation of new proteins, which may lead to the development of biomaterials, which are design materials inspired by nature. And Bueller calls this process of turning protein structures into audible representations that could be translated into new materials as materio music. So back to COVID-19. They applied this technology to create a sound map of the spike protein of the SARS-CoV-2 virus and composed a 110-minute-long piece that includes bells, strings, and flutes representing different aspects of the protein. The team hopes it will help to identify parts of the protein that could be targeted by antibodies or drugs by searching for specific musical sequences that correspond to these areas. So we're actually listening to the protein coat of COVID-19 right now. So let's listen in a little more closely to those spikes that allow the virus to bind to human host cell receptors and infect us. You're tuned in to Echolocation, and we just listened to an excerpt of a composition entitled Viral Counterpoint of the Coronavirus Spike Protein by Marcus J. Bueller with help from artificial intelligence. I've posted links to Marcus J. Bueller's work on the Echolocation Facebook page, and I encourage you to visit his SoundCloud page, which has a vast collection of works exploring the sounds of the invisible world. So now we know the sound of virus, and it's possible that someday we'll be using sound to kill viruses. In an article published in Live Science in 2008, Michael Sherber describes laser pulses that are tuned to the resonant frequency of specific viruses and that basically cause them to shatter, like an opera singer shattering glass. Physicists from Arizona State University mathematically determined the frequencies at which simple viruses can be shaken to death. And the experimental evidence has shown that laser pulses tuned to the right frequency can kill certain viruses. the last story that I want to share today about the sound of COVID is not so much about us trying to perceive the vibrations of the COVID-19 virus, but the way that the COVID-19 virus has quieted our human-caused vibrations. And this story was published in Science back in July, and a report entitled Global Quieting of High-Frequency Seismic Noise Due to COVID-19 Lockdown explains that seismometers all over the world recorded a reduction of human-made vibrations last spring. Between March to July, the level of seismic noise associated with humans dropped to less than half of that seen between January to March 2020. So for a time at least, the rest of the creatures on Earth got a bit of a break from our human-made vibrations due to COVID-19. You're listening to Echolocation on WGXC 90.7 FM in New York's Hudson Valley and online at wavefarm.org. I'm your hostess, Elizabeth Lo Judas, and we just heard the song Virus off of Bjork's 2011 album Biophilia. And we're going to premiere a brand new segment on today's broadcast, and it's a segment that I'm going to call Down the Rabbit Hole. Part of the reason I love producing this show so much is that I frequently get derailed and distracted and ultimately end up knee-deep in a fascinating topic that I never even knew existed. And I end up going down a rabbit hole of research to learn more. Well, in the case of Dr. Bueller, the MIT engineer who composes music out of proteins, I found out about him from researching the sounds of coronavirus, but it turns out that he also studies spiders.
He is our hero.
I've been fascinated by the fact that spiders use their webs as an extension of their sensory system, and I've featured their use of vibrational cues to locate prey and communicate in recent episodes of Echolocation. And it turns out that Marcus Bueller and his collaborators, especially artist Tomas Saraceno, are pursuing greater understanding of spiders and the architecture of their webs. And coincidentally, I actually referenced Tomas Saraceno's website, Arachnophilia, in Echolocation's Deep Dark Silence broadcast that aired last winter. The website is packed with fascinating information and amazing photos of spiders and webs. And you can even listen to the sounds of spiders constructing and plucking and tuning their webs. So check out arachnophilia.net. And the methodology that this interdisciplinary team has developed to study spiders is really wild. Basically, they take a type of spider that builds a three-dimensional web called a colonial tent web orb weaver. And they put these spiders in clear, rigid containers, like boxes. And then they feed the spiders and care for their needs. But they have the spider just live in this box where they naturally spin a web. And they researchers then use a scanning technique that they've developed to actually scan all of the components of these complex tent-like three-dimensional webs, and then they can recreate the elements of the architecture of these webs to study how the spiders construct these very elaborate and strong and effective structures. And the team at Saraceno Studios in Berlin have actually recorded the sounds of spiders interacting with their webs. And then they used these recordings to train an artificial neural network that they call the Spider Artificial Intelligence or the Spider AI. They train the Spider AI to then generate new web construction sounds that are used in the composition of music. And Marcus Bueller has incorporated some of this spider AI music into his own compositions, and we're going to take a listen to an excerpt from a piece called Spider Variations. Thank you. We just heard a piece called Spider Variations, which features the sonification of vibrations recorded from a spider web. And the piece features sounds from several different webs constructed by a type of spider called a colonial tent web orb weaver. And this approach of mapping 3D spider webs and then creating music from the vibrations of the silk filaments that make up the web is the result of an ongoing collaboration between an interdisciplinary team at Massachusetts Institute of Technology. In January 2019, MIT's Center for Art, Science, and Technology premiered a performance called Spider's Canvas. And the project is based on a colonial tent web orb weaver's web construction, which was mapped, and then the team applied different frequencies of sound to several different lengths of spider web filaments. And these frequencies were then layered to reflect the complex architecture of the web. And the team even created an interactive video game within the web. And during the Spider's Canvas performance, the team guided the audience through the web as if from the spider's perspective. And the different fibers they encountered determined the sounds that the audience heard, creating what sounds like a totally immersive experience of being within a spider's web and having some of the sensory experiences of a spider. So we're going to listen to another example of this music, and this piece is called Tangled Web. Thank you. You're listening to Echolocation on WGXC 90.7 FM in New York's Hudson Valley and online at wavefarm.org. I'm your hostess, Elizabeth Lo Judas, and we just heard the song Tangled Web. We're going to listen to one more piece by Dr. Bueller, a spider, and an artificial intelligence deep learning network. And this one features the sonification of spiderweb construction sounds mixed with the sonification of the vibrational frequencies of proteins from a waterborne parasite of humans, a protein from a rabbit, and a protein from a virus. So this is a true interspecies machine-assisted jam session, and it's called Spider Playing with Proteins. We just heard an excerpt from Spider Playing with Proteins, which features sonification of spiderweb vibrations mixed with the sonification of vibrational frequencies of proteins from a waterborne parasite of humans, from a rabbit, and a protein from a virus. You can learn more about composer and engineer Marcus J. Bueller and his musical collaborations across intelligences in search of new methods and materials at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology website and by visiting his SoundCloud page. His last name is spelled Bueher, and you can find links at the show notes page that I'll post on the Echolocation WGXC page on Facebook.
He is our hero.
Spider.
Get rid of
Spider.
Step on Spider.
Spider.
We love you, Spider.
I promise not to kill you.
Spider. Spider.
We love you, Spider.
Spider.
Get rid of
Spider.
Must stop
Spider.
He is our hero.
You're tuned in to Echolocation, and we just heard a tune called Spider by They Might Be Giants. And we're going to go from the micro to the macro in search of sounds we can't hear on this edition of Echolocation. We've been listening to tiny things like spiders and viruses, and now we're going to turn our ears to the night sky and take a listen to a comet. And this was inspired because despite all of the strife that 2020 has wrought, one of the bright spots, at least for me, was the comet Neowise that was visible in the night sky back in July. And the comet was only discovered in March, and scientists calculate that it won't pass by this way again for at least 6,800 years. So for a few warm nights this summer, the comet was visible as a fuzzy stripe near the horizon. And when I looked at it with binoculars, it was so clearly a comet with the tail visible, and somehow it appeared to be truly hurtling through space, even though it looked just also like a fixed point in the sky from my roadside vantage. And as I stood there each night, like gazing at this celestial body, I wondered, do comets make a sound? They technically are a part of nature, after all, and of course, I know there's no sound in space, but still I wondered if vibrations of comets create something we could conceive of as sound. Well, it turns out that in November of 2014, the European Space Agency's Rosetta spacecraft detected some strange vibrations emanating from a comet that they call 67P Churyumov-Gerasimenko. And the researchers are not exactly sure what the vibrations were, but they think it may have been oscillations of the magnetic sphere around the plasma atmosphere that surrounds the comet. And according to the European Space Agency, quoting them, the sounds emitted by this comet are oscillations in the magnetic field around the comet. Its space environment is permeated by the solar wind, which is a continuous stream of electrically charged gas called plasma, and the magnetic field lines strung along from the sun, which interacts with the comet's gas-dust atmosphere. And so a consequence of this interaction is an induced cometary magnetosphere. In other words, even though the nucleus of the comet has no magnetic field of its own, the comet's atmosphere, or which is called a coma, is magnetized. So it's like the disruption in the coma is causing oscillations in the magnetic field around the comet, which makes these oscillations vibrate at a frequency of only 40 to 50 millihertz, which is way, way below human hearing. And they increased the frequency so that it can be heard by humans. You're tuned in to Echolocation, and we've been listening to the oscillations of Comet 67P Churyumov-Gerasimenko. Turns out you can listen to comets, after all. Well, we're almost to the end of today's show, and I want to leave you with one last thought. It's about the bats. This show is called Echolocation, and bats are echolocation experts that we've featured more than once, and they've been implicated in the transmission of COVID-19 to humans. So I wanted to set the record straight about the bats, because basically what I found in researching the topic is that many bats carry strains of coronavirus, but they don't directly infect humans. The virus has to pass through an intermediate host, like another animal, and then move on to humans. And a big reason that the virus mutated to infect humans is because of exposure. And as humans colonize more and more of the earth, altering habitats and capturing wildlife for food, our exposure to illnesses that can jump from animals to us increases. So we shouldn't blame the bats for our current predicament, but we should address our current patterns of consumption and development in order to protect ourselves and protect the creatures of the earth. And if you've enjoyed this show or any of the shows that you hear on WGXC, please donate to the radio station. And you can do a one-time donation, or like me, you can become a sustaining member and provide a monthly donation that keeps the radio station moving towards a goal to eventually eliminate all pledge drives, because it'll just be a sustaining membership that keeps the station on the air. So please donate. Thanks for listening to Echolocation. You can subscribe to our podcast on the Echolocation page at wavefarm.org. And visit our Facebook page at echolocation/WGXC for a complete list of references and lots of cool links. Music on tonight's show was composed and performed by the Hilliard Ensemble, J.S. Bach and Yo-Yo Ma, Marcus J. Bueller, Bjork, They Might Be Giants, and Comet67P, Churyumov, Gerasimenko. And with sincere hopes that we beat this pandemic soon, we're going to end the show with the song Homesick by The Cure. Until next time, this is Elizabeth Lojudis signing off. Be well and stay safe.
Just